The state is dismissing charges against an Alaska militia leader and others who were accused in a murder conspiracy plot targeting judges and state troopers, but federal charges remain against four of the five Fairbanks area residents, including Schaefer Cox, who was accused in state charges of hatching the conspiracy. The four remain in custody. Prosecutors say the decision announced Friday was prompted by a Superior Court judge's recent ruling to suppress all electronic evidence in the case. Judge David Stewart said in his October 17th ruling that audio and video recordings made during the six-month FBI investigation into Cox and his Peacemakers militia are not admissible because they were made without a search warrant and therefore violate the Alaska Constitution. The FBI has wider authority to obtain warrants. Southeast Alaska timber advocates scored a victory Friday as the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the logjam sale can go forward. The Tongass Conservation Society, Greenpeace, and Cascadia Wildlands had argued that the U.S. Forest Service failed to take a hard look at the cumulative environmental impact of the logjam sale in light of past logging on Prince of Wales Island. The groups also argued that the Forest Service's review failed to disclose concerns about wolf mortality and the impacts on deer habitat. A lower court ruled against the groups, and Friday, a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit found their appeal unpersuasive. Logjam is a 3,400-acre timber sale on Prince of Wales Island, consisting primarily of old-growth trees. The Juneau School District has racked up more than $2 million in energy savings since implementing a conservation program in 2007. Energy education specialist Adrienne Schwartz tracks energy consumption for the district and works with staff to reduce costs by following energy efficiency guidelines.
And how I do that is I send out information letting everybody know what those guidelines are. And then I check buildings on a regular basis to make sure that those guidelines are being followed. And the maintenance department actually plays a huge role in the program because they're dealing with all of our ventilation systems and heating equipment and all of those kinds of things behind the scenes.
The guidelines were written with the help of Energy Education, a company that helps school districts, college campuses, and other institutions implement conservation measures. In the 4 years since the district implemented them, Schwartz says Juneau schools have saved more than $2,063,000. That's good news to school board president Sally Sadler.
As you know, we've been cutting our budget. We ended up cutting $4 million from our operating budget last year, and we're most likely looking at cuts again this year. So you hear people say so often it's time to work smarter, and I think this is a great example of the people in the school district who are working smarter.
Schwartz, who took over the energy education specialist job from Joyce Kitka this summer, says her goal for the future is to do more outreach to students.
I've started sending out a monthly newsletter, and I am including links to energy conservation curriculum, and I've had a few teachers ask me for information about that. I also had a high school group ask if I could come meet with them, so I'm hoping that more and more of it gets into the classroom.
Energy Education, the company that helped implement the conservation plan, is no longer on contract, but it continues to offer free support to the district. About a dozen and a half people braved Saturday's blustery weather for the Occupy Juneau demonstration. Some brought signs that read, "Prosecute Wall Street fraud, corporations will not save us, less growth, more balance." One of the organizers, James Marcus, told those who showed up under the Marine Park shelter that one purpose is simply to raise awareness.
Here we are expressing solidarity with just the overall discontent with the current state of affairs, and we're speaking as individuals amongst a group of like-minded fellow individuals and brainstorming and throwing out ideas and just kind of formulating items of action that we each as individuals can take.
After about an hour of discussion, protesters walked down Egan Drive to the bridge intersection and waved signs there. Marcus says this is actually the third week they've had demonstrations. He estimated 50 people turned out last week. Another protest is planned for next Saturday, also at noon. That's a day that people are encouraged to withdraw money from institutions considered too big to fail. Members of Occupy Fairbanks have come to resolution with Fairbanks North Star Borough officials over that group's ongoing protest at Veterans Memorial Park in Fairbanks. Tim Ellis has that story.
Borough Parks Superintendent John Haas confirmed Thursday that the borough and Occupy Fairbanks members have come to an agreement that will allow the occupiers to continue their protest at the park. But they will not be allowed to use the gazebo, and they cannot sleep in the park. They will be allowed to sit on a bench with their signs. And he says they must leave the park when other groups who've reserved it show up for events such as those coming up in a couple of weeks.
I have several dates that are already booked this year for other events by the veterans, and so they'd have to leave during those events.
Ethan Sinsabaugh has been there at the park for most of the past 3 weeks. The UAF student has been hunkering down in the gazebo in a doubled-up sleeping bag wrapped in plastic, studying his textbooks with a headlamp until he gets tired and falls asleep. The 29-year-old anthropology major says he hasn't been sleeping much since he started staying in the park. Sinsabaugh says he's often asked why he's spending night after night in increasingly cold weather.
The best thing I could come up with why I'm doing this is, like, you know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth doing. So I feel like, you know, by exerting myself to this limit, I'm showing everyone down on Wall Street, I'm like, hey, look, you know, we're up here with you too. And, you know, we're going to do this as long as you're going to be doing this. And that's going to be as long as it takes.
Sinsabaugh says he feels a strong connection with the Occupy Wall Street movement since it first stirred to life last month. He initially wanted to go there, but after talking with fellow activists in Anchorage, he decided to join the local movement and help the cause here in Fairbanks. He says the Fairbanks occupiers share the same concerns as those in New York and elsewhere, and they also represent more local causes. For example, concerns that oil companies are extracting wealth from Alaska without sharing the wealth with Alaskans.
The Occupy Fairbanks movement, in my opinion, we want to focus on community and local issues and how national corporations try to come in here and take away from the community without putting anything back in. You know, they don't want to be involved in the community.
That's a concern shared by David Leslie, another UAF student and member of Occupy Fairbanks, who believes that oil companies should consider contributing money toward social causes, such as behavioral health degree programs, instead of lavishing money on such programs as petroleum engineering.
You know, we don't see that much money funded into the psychology department here, even though Fairbanks is basically an ongoing mental health crisis, you know? And our community needs this more than we need, oil engineers, because oil engineers don't help people who are, you know, in need.
Sinsabaugh says that's the kind of corporate mentality that's fueled his feeling of disenfranchisement, of being left behind or left out of the American dream. He says it's a feeling that's been building in him and most Americans for a while now, especially in recent years, since the 2008 market crash, last year's Supreme Court Citizens United decision, which granted corporations a greater role in the political process, and over newly elected Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's drive to deeply cut the state's budget. The clash in Wisconsin also motivated Leslie, a 23-year-old film and journalism major, to join the cause.
And, you know, for a few weeks I was just like, man, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be helping them out. If I were in New York or anywhere close, I would be part of this protest. And then I came to campus one day and saw, you know, Ethan over there and everyone else. And then I realized that if something does come of this, this is my chance to make sure I'm a part of it and to help it succeed.
In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.